asked me, why's he only call me up when he throws you down? Wanted me more with every round. Hey, bourbon, why you gotta leave him burning and feeling that whole blame he used to have when he was with me? Hey, whiskey.
We're Smithfield.
And we're hanging out with Donald on his show.
Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Hey, let's get started. You ready? By the way, we started recording like 5 minutes ago. So awesome. I hope you didn't say anything.
Good. Yeah. B-roll.
No, we're good. There's been a couple that we've had that have been questionable. Of like, we should probably edit some things.
We should probably take that one out. But I always just hit record just in case. Yeah. I don't want you to get nervous. I don't feel like you do because you artists. I mean, you're on stage all the time, right?
Yeah.
But do you ever feel like when you're in this setting, this is the hot seat and you get a little nervous, like, I don't know what they're going to
ask. Sometimes, I think it depends on who's interviewing us. You guys have been pretty cool and like open, so I feel good and comfortable.
I like it.
If they're weird, then we're going to be weird, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't know, I don't know, I'm not getting into all that. Let me start the show real quick.
Okay. Let's do it.
Because
I thought we already started, but...
Well, I mean, we did. Wow. There's no format to it, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes...
We haven't even introduced you guys yet.
Yeah. Oh. Actually, nobody, gotcha. Nobody even like knows who the voices are.
They should know our voices by now.
Just building up, you know, excitement.
There you go.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Donald. Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Thanks for tuning in. My boy, super sick, Kevin McCarty. What's up, man?
First show of the year.
Hey, first show 2018. Dude, don't blink.
First one.
I
feel special.
First ones, and I think this is going to be like episode 81.
Wow. Congrats, guys.
Well, yeah. Donald did most of them in the beginning, and then I just ride his coattails.
Okay, you're just hopping on the bandwagon.
That's okay.
Yeah, totally.
We'll give you some cred.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how the story went. Kevin, I think, called me one day and said, you know what? I feel like your head's getting a little big. I need to bring you down. So he literally keeps me in check on the show over here. He'll do some fact checking. I actually, there may or may not be some things pop up on the screen. So depending on what you tell us.
Not necessarily if you guys, unless I think you're, you know, lying.
Well, our research team has gone way back in your last.
How far back?
Well, let me do this.
The internet,
hey, Kevin, let me actually tell the audience who they're listening to. All right. This is awesome because I'm sitting with Smithfield. And actually how you make Smithfield the band up is we have Trey and we have Jennifer, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to assume anything because nobody told me, but last names.
That's right.
Yep. Trey Smith and Jennifer Fielder. Ta-da.
There you go.
Smart.
That simple. Some people go, are you guys from Virginia? And we're like, no. And they're like, are you affiliated with the ham company? No.
I wish there was a cooler story behind it sometimes. Because there's always, you know, these people have this band name and it came from some special place. And we're just like, well, my last name is Smith and your last name is Fielder. So there you go.
Which is special.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's the most special.
It's two people coming together. Though.
I think people expect like a bigger story behind it. And they're like, where'd you get your name? We're like, Trey Smith, Jennifer Fielder. Like, oh,
there you go. Cool.
Boom.
There it is.
We're excited you guys are here. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, of course.
Kevin and I have been doing this for a while. We have a lot of fun. And really, every guest that sits here, I've given you a little bit about what the show does. But at the end of the day, guys, like, I'm just passionate about telling really good stories about really good people doing really good things. And that's why you guys are here. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you
I mean, because at the end of the day, talent is everywhere, right? Like, especially in Nashville, it's everywhere.
You can throw a rock and hit somebody talented.
It's so much talent, but, you know, there are, you know, I think a lot of our audience do, you know, they are maybe in music, maybe they're not, but I know what they, most of our audience is, and it's people that are just passionate about life, right? And they just love to hear, how are you doing what you do, right? Mm-hmm. And so even if I'm not pursuing music, I can learn from you and your journey.
Absolutely.
As to overcoming fear and rejection and perseverance, because I could be wrong. I don't know everything about you, but y'all may have heard like no once or twice, right? Oh.
Times like 100.
I never heard it before.
It's been all yeses. It's been all yeses.
Not sure how that feels.
Well, and you know, hey, especially as an artist, right? That's personal. I grew up in like sales and business where somebody told me no, I didn't like hearing it, but they were really rejecting my product or service. Not like mm-hmm.
not you personally.
Yeah. Personally.
Tough.
And it's hard not to take it personal.
Yeah. And your songs and your music is like your babies. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So, and I think when you kind of come out and proclaim like, hey, I'm an artist, you automatically put a little bit of a target on your back.
Yeah.
Because people are just, I mean, they're going to judge everything you do, from your interviews to your music to, I mean, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've heard a lot of those good stories. I almost to the point where I can't say that this is like a must. When I talk to artists, they'll tell me about this time that it was like the gut wrenching. No, mm-hmm. you know, they always kind of have that flashback. Right. And let's be honest, that either makes you like, cause it's not what happens to us most of the time. It's how we react. Cause you have a choice. You can go, sure. I believe you, and then just leave town. And guess what? That actually happens. I mean, yeah. we just don't usually hear about those stories because there's no story, right? Yeah. That was the end,
right?
Right. But here, for the people that do, it was really in a lot of people's minds the beginning of their story, if mm-hmm. you think about it. Like, because that was the crossroads where it was like, and I've almost wondered, I don't know if I could be this person, Kevin, because my temperament wouldn't allow it. But sometimes I really, especially when new artists move to town and they ask, sometimes I want to look at them and go, yeah, you're not good enough. Regardless if they are or not. Like, they really could be. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's almost like, I want to be that guy sometimes.
You want to have that kind of power?
It's like you're helping in a very indirect way. You know what I mean? Right. I had an old boss tell me that, look, Donald, I don't care how good somebody's product or service is, I say no 5 times. Mm. I go, what? He goes, if your product or service is that good, I will hear about it 5 times before I say yes. Mm. Right? And I'm like, interesting. So it's almost like if that new artist comes to town and they may be phenomenal. Like, you just go, wow, they blew me out. And I go, nope.
Yeah.
Because if you really want to make it and you believe in yourself, you'll be back. Sure. You know what I mean? So
it's like the threshold.
Yeah. I don't know why I got off that rant. Sorry.
Hey, first show,
Kevin. I'm just getting the dust off and warm my own.
Pun intended.
You know, here's what I don't want to do. I actually watched a lot of interviews and stuff that you guys have already done. And what I don't want to do is like ask you, I don't think this is the same show format as most. So I don't want to ask you the same questions. Cool. But I do want to talk about you guys.
That's good.
And I'll be honest, in a couple of videos and interviews and like, how well do you know each other? Which I really love that game. I saw that video.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good. If you can't, it's on YouTube. I don't know what you call it, but it's like, do you really know Smithfield, really know each other? So I already know what your favorite songs are and all that good stuff.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to ask you that.
All right.
I have more personal questions.
Oh, gosh.
I could not find, honestly, anything where anybody had documented anything about you as people and growing up together where y'all ever had any romance between yourselves. And please tell me I'm not the first person that has asked y'all this question.
You are not. You are one of many, actually.
On record?
You and every other person.
Dang.
But maybe it hasn't been captured on camera yet or on audio.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, look, me and Kevin were talking in general. We've all had this story, maybe not all, but like if you've met at 9, 10, well, I think, 12 and 10, something like that.
Yeah.
Grew up.
Dang, you did your research.
In Texas, you go off to college, lose some, you come back. I got the whole story. It was a great story.
Yeah.
And, and then, you know, it kind of goes from there. I have a lot of friends that are of the opposite sex so that we grew up. And, you know, look, it never was going to be dating situation. It was like, oh, like we're BFF. But I'm just saying, there's never been like that one night.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not, it doesn't matter if and what you have, that's not the point. It's just like, well, maybe we should just find out. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not saying there's chemistry, but I feel like I've had that from time to time, this one specific in college. And I was just like, I love you so much as a human being. There's no real chemistry there, but I don't know why we wouldn't at least find out.
Right.
Sure.
And it was almost like, all right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when I was like 12 and you were 10.
Trey missed his shot.
The way we met.
That's what I want to hear about.
So it was New Year's Eve, which is also my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. There you go. More information. And my cousin told me about Jen. And she was like, yeah, you remember her? And I was like, yeah, not really. And I was like, isn't she younger than me? She said, no. She's the same age as you.
Yeah.
And they're like, she was telling us that she really wants you to kiss her at midnight.
Woo!
And
was this true, Jennifer?
Oh, 100%. But she was telling me the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Well, she was working.
She's working both.
She had a plan.
That's
she had a plan.
Great friend.
But apparently to my 12-year-old self, it was a big deal that she was 10. Big deal.
Mm. Yeah.
She way too young. and they didn't tell me that. And so midnight came. It didn't happen. spoiler alert. And I think my parents like knew something about it because midnight my dad put his hand on my shoulders like, come here, lover boy. And I was like, what? What are
he
you talking
just said,
about?
I have a teaching opportunity right here.
So really you could say my dad kind of ruined it for me. Still love him, but yeah, it didn't happen. And then later on the next day I found out she was 2 years younger than me, and I was just like so mad at my cousin. I was like, why didn't you tell me she was 2 years younger than me? You told me she was in seventh grade, and it was a huge deal, but which really, you know,
it could have been that one.
I don't know
night,
why it was such a big deal
out.
With 12-year-old Trey, but it was. So.
Yeah, there's a song in there somewhere. I don't know if y'all have written that, but it's somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
And
it, you might have to skew the ages a little bit if you're going to write a song about a 12 and 10-year-old kissing. That's but true. Either yeah. way, yeah. there's first, something first in there kisses. From a story perspective.
It is cute. We're not talking sweet. About anything. Yes, that would have been a sweet story. I will say though, in hindsight, being 2020. Tell your friend if this ever happens. Yeah, it's way too much pressure. Like, you know, you can't, that was a lot of expectations for a guy. And I'm speaking on the guy's behalf. So, you know, you need to make it easy for us.
See, it was really your fault.
Yeah. So I should have been the one to go for it.
Well,
saying?
You know, I'm just saying, going into the 21st there, you needed to get with the times. But 1999, I'm just saying.
Oh, that's a good story, gosh. Though. Well, I mean, gosh, y'all had never really sang together then until college?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I mean, y'all both individually were pursuing music.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that same cousin who tried to hook us up when we were kids and kiss that night is the same cousin that comes to my family Thanksgiving. Because Trey and I, our families have always been like intertwined with one another. We see each other all the time, do family functions. So they don't drive to Houston, which is where Trey lives. They stay in Dallas with my family. And so she was sitting at the table and she was like, Trey's rock band just broke up. Like, you guys should really try singing together. And because he's a family friend, I was like, man, I can't say no. So I was just like trying to be nice. And I was like, yeah, tell him to reach out to me. That's fine. So, and then she was doing the same thing again, working the system. And said, you should really start singing with Jen. So
she had a master plan for us. We were going to be together in some form or fashion. Whatever that relationship was at some point, she was hell-bent on it.
Yeah. Well, and she, you know, she did a good job.
She did a good job.
Where is she now?
She's still back in the little town that our families are from. Yeah. Waxahachie, Texas.
If there were anyone who needed maybe her assistance in what she does very well, like how would one get in touch with the cousin? I'm asking for a friend, actually, but what are you
I'll
laughing
send her
at?
An email on your behalf here.
There you go.
With this video, like this live video, and be like, we need your help.
Listen, I know a guy that might need your assistance. By the way, 2 years younger is not an issue for this guy. That's, you know, how you would say.
You know, I've come out of the dark ages now.
That is well documented.
Oh, see, now we're not going there at all. And what?
No, I was just saying,
see,
like,
this is why we don't record this in front of a live audience. All right.
Probably better that way.
No, I'm just saying, like, you keep your options open. That's it.
Once again, I said we're not going to discuss age.
You're not an ageist, is all I'm saying.
Age is, look, I realize why it was a big deal to you at 12. I understand
at 12,
that.
You know.
However, is it still that big of a deal to you right now?
I've, you know, gotten better about it.
Right.
Not quite as closed-minded when it comes to that.
You know what the equation is, right? I've always heard. Me. It's half your age plus 7.
I have heard that, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
It's the scientific fact.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Is that you and... Is that the numbers work for you and Leslie?
We got it by a year, so I'm safe. But it was a year, but I'm safe.
So it was half your age plus 6.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm in the threshold.
You're in the threshold.
Of okay.
Very nice.
Believe me, I put out
I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
I put out a calculator.
Catch up with us, Jen.
All right. Jen. I apologize. Jen, yeah.
We did.
To be
guys,
fair,
the equation was guys are supposed to date girls half their age plus 7.
Oh. Now,
no, that's the minimum that they could date.
It's the minimum requirement.
Oh.
Yeah, so like you can't date anybody younger than that.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I mean. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So like if you're 30, okay, you can't date anybody younger than 22.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Right. So.
And I used to think that was a reason for guys to date somewhat much younger girls. I then realized that that's about the maturity gap. I'll be honest.
That's a good point.
So,
yeah.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to offend you guys.
All right. First of all, let me just go ahead and give you permission. Not possible. Say whatever you want on this show. Well, we got that out of the way. I told Kevin, I was like, I couldn't find whether they're dating or not. And I don't, you know, I just said, I'm going to ask.
Yep. Oh,
natural question.
By all means. So,
well, and I do that to lead into this. I mean, you know, in music in general, when you're talking about a career, mm-hmm. I mean, you better like each other.
For sure.
Yeah, it helps.
You know sure. what I mean? And let's be honest. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts in a career anyway, mm-hmm. and now put it in entertainment and music and the road life.
It's a lot.
And yeah. all the moving parts.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of ways, it's very important. I know we were joking around in a lot of ways about, you know, the romantic part of it. But let's, I mean, you know, there's got to be times, guys, right? When you have known each other long enough and now you're singing where you're like, I can't look at you right now. I love you, but I don't like you. And then got to go on stage and have the same chemistry as yeah. if, you know what I mean? Like yeah. there was no, cause life happens. Let's be honest. There's gotta be sure. a time. Right. So I'm just wondering how that works. I mean, you know, have y'all worked on this or is it?
We call it our duo marriage. Because we yeah. have to make every decision together. We do argue. We do fight. Not mm-hmm. fight, but healthy. Yeah.
I mean, I compare it more to like family. Like, yeah. you know, because it's like, you love your family. You're always going to love your family. But you're going to have fights with your family. And sure. there's going to be times that, like you said, you don't want to talk to them. You don't even want to be around them.
Right.
But
by the way, let's go on stage and sing about love.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, you still come together as a family. So.
Oh, I love that, Trey.
I don't know.
I hope that I, on this show, just brought y'all to something that y'all have never gotten to before on any other show. Did you feel that, Kevin, at all?
Gosh, that was great.
Like, I feel like
that was
a
genuine response of like compassion and love. Yeah. And all of that.
Either that or y'all have done really good media training. That's awesome.
No, we've done none.
Well, then it comes natural. No.
Huh? That was really cool.
It's crap, I messed up that one line.
That
though.
One line, yeah.
We'll tighten it up next time.
No, that's awesome. I'm not in music or anything. I love it, and I love the passion you guys have, and I really think y'all are like the purest entrepreneur culture out there, just because you're creating new products and new services and sense like your image and your song yeah. every day, and then always having to figure out, hey, you know, we actually have to make money for a while until this thing happens. But all the stuff, it's not something that probably what you do and love the most is like 10% of it, which is on stage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's why I like talking to you guys, because there's 90% of this that is behind the scenes. It's the in between the stages part, you know, and
that's the not as fun part, but necessary.
But necessary. And also going back to kind of like that one thing I was telling about somebody that said, no, you wouldn't do this if this was just a hobby.
No,
absolutely not. No way.
Well, I mean,
it is so hard.
It's interesting because it starts out as a hobby for everybody.
Sure.
You know, like when you're a kid, you're inclined to music and you love playing and singing, and then it develops into this thing that is your job. So I think that makes it a little unique from a lot of jobs out there, because like a lot of people can't say like, this was my hobby and then it turned into my job.
Yeah.
Which we're lucky in a sense.
And people only see, you know, the not glamour side, but us on stage and the fun shows. And then on your social media, you've got all these great pictures. Yeah. We're in New York eating pizza. This is awesome. They don't see all the part-time jobs you work. They don't see all the hours you spent in a writer's room when it's just you and two other people, and nobody even sees what you create or may never hear or see what you create. All the no's, all the doubts and fears, as you were saying earlier, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? God, am I still supposed to be here? How can I afford rent this month? You know, people don't see that.
I still ask that question.
I don't think doubts or fears ever really go away.
No.
Somebody told me one time, it's like, look, you can think it and all that stuff, just don't verbally say it. It was like, it gives it power if you verbally say,
it's true.
Right.
I quit. You could think you want to quit all day long, because that's normal.
Right.
To a certain extent. Just don't say it out loud, you know? So
sure.
Don't put it out in the universe.
Yeah. Well, that's weird, because honestly, I actually thought because y'all were on stage singing that y'all were rich. That's how that
I like to pretend I am when I'm on stage.
You start throwing dollar bills out.
Right, And I'm grabbing them back. Like, wait, give me that. I need that.
Oh, gosh. So much
These are
fun.
Smithfield dollars. They're worth pretty much everything. These are IOUs.
Right. Monopoly money.
Should hold on to that.
Don't give me any cryptocurrency, Kevin. We can create a Smithfield coin.
You can. People are doing that now.
No. Well, that's another episode.
Donald gets really excited about this.
I know. It's a lot. Oh gosh. Well, all right. So let's get into like these three questions that I have for everyone. Now, there is no right or wrong answer, but Kevin over there, he is super sick and he does judge.
Okay. Right, so. I have an Excel sheet that I rate everyone's answers on, and then do like a formula of who's the best and who's worst. And don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's okay, not.
Cool. I just no pressure though.
Yeah, it goes out to my like 180 followers.
So, okay, good. You know. I'll try not to let them down.
This first question is going to be because I did do a little research, and I thought it was actually really cool. Because Trey, you were saying that like, for a long time, actually at a really young age, like even most of your friends and family didn't even know you were upstairs playing the guitar and singing or whatever. I mean, it was something you just did to yourself, right?
Yeah. Very, very elite group of people knew about my hidden talent. But to be honest with you, at that age, I didn't know it was a talent. Mm. I had no idea if I was any good or not. So yeah. I would just kind of do it. I knew I enjoyed doing it, but I'd never had anybody tell me I was good at it.
And then, friends, Kevin, I think signed him up for a talent show, right? And then, so you're like, well, I need a talent. So I kind of like to play guitar.
You did your research. Yeah. I'm impressed right now.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, is that talent show, was that the moment, you know, at 18 or something like that, where you're like, yeah, I think music is it. And I say that mm-hmm. because the question is for both of you. If you could have coffee with yourself, knowing what you know now, at that moment where you decided, hey, you know, music is more than just a little bit more than a hobby and a passion. Like this is what I want.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll let you answer individually, but what would you tell yourself?
If I just moved here, so we're talking about, no, this is new Trey.
No, we're saying that knowing what you know now, if you could talk to younger Trey, gotcha. If you could talk to 18-year-old Trey.
Yeah.
If you say, I'm going to sit down with my 18-year-old self and have coffee, I'd say, dude, right. This is what you need to know.
I would tell myself, to not be so afraid of what other people are going to think, about what you do. Cause that's what scared me the most about it when I was a kid, is I was just terrified of going out there and putting it out there and then people telling me that was terrible or it wasn't any good or anything. Cause you build it up in your mind, you think you're pretty good, but until somebody tells you, you know, other than your parents, they're, cause you know, mom and dad are like, oh, you're really good, honey. You should try it sometime. And it's like, thanks, mom. But until you do it in front of people, it's just that fear. So I would just be like, man, because even the first time I performed, I was a little timid and you could tell.
Sure.
Because I'd never done it before.
Right.
So I would just say, you know, just relax and just let it happen. Don't hold back. And I would say that in just about everything. You know, don't hold back. I mean, if you feel it or if you think it's something good, you need to put it out there without apologies.
Was there ever a time when either one of you were young and you had that performance? I'll let you answer real quick, Jim, but follow up on this one where you kind of like bombed as a, you know, and it was like, maybe I'm just not
so
good.
Rewind a little bit before I was 18.
Okay.
The one time I decided to try to do music before 18 was I was 16, 15. And my church was having tryouts for the praise band. And I was in like that awkward age where your voice is changing.
Yeah. Yep.
Aww.
So I picked the most terrible time to go try to sing. Yeah. And aww. I remember playing the guitar and singing this song. And the guy came up to me afterwards laughing and said, yeah, I think we're just going to keep you on guitar.
Yeah.
Oh, Trey.
So then I dug myself.
I didn't even know that. I'm learning more.
So then I dug myself into a hole even deeper than I was before and wanted no one to hear me sing or anything. And then later on, a few years later, it went out.
Good for you. I had that very similar story, except I never sang again after that.
Okay.
Yeah,
yep.
So, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Ran off stage. I was cracking so hard in front of the church. Yeah. It's great.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Right. Well, I'm glad that we are learning a lot about each other. There'll be an invoice in the mail for therapy after. I kid. Jim, what about you? Have coffee with your younger self. Now, I know it's always been country for you. Yes. Originally, it was like, no, do it. I mean, I love you. And I said yes because you're a family friend. But, you know, it's country, it's individual. So you've been singing your whole life.
Yeah.
Right? What point for you was it more than just, you know, just the, I like to sing.
Yeah.
Mom.
Gosh, I would say, when I was 9 years old, I knew from that moment, because my family would take me to these Opry's in Texas, all modeled after the Grand Ole Opry. And so I sang on the same show that Lee and Rhymes grew up singing on. And so when I finally got old enough to audition and be on that show, like, and I made my first check singing, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to do this for life. I thought it was so cool. Little did I know that later on you don't really make money that quickly. But
well, no, but when you're that age, that check was all so profit. Cool. You weren't paying rent.
Right.
Exactly. You're like, wait, this whole business thing is pretty easy. Yeah. Guys, I don't know what everybody's really
stressing
out.
I thought I was so cool when I was nine making money doing music. But I would say the defining moment is my parents took me to Nashville for the first time when I was 15 years old, and I wanted to go to the Grand Ole Opry. And I knew that night, Carrie Underwood was on stage that night. And I looked at my parents and I said, I'm going to do that someday. I don't know how, but that's what I want to do with my life. And I'm going to be in that circle. I had no idea that 10 years later, my best friend in the whole world would be in the same circle with me. So wow. It's pretty cool.
So that was at 9 and 10. If you could go talk to that 10-year-old girl and have a juice box or something.
Juice box.
What would you tell her?
Kiss that tray, yeah.
Dang it! Oh, that was good.
He's not gonna let us go.
God, drop the mic. Walk off.
That was great.
I'm done.
If you don't do anything else, you need to make out with Trey New Year's.
My gosh.
What's kind of funny to think about? You have to wonder if, like, how much that would have changed things.
You know,
I mean, let's be honest. I'm not trying to get Back to the Future on us, but think about it. Could have.
Maybe my dad saved us. I don't know.
Oh, that's good. So, all right, but you're not getting off the hook to answer the question.
Yeah.
I tried to save it.
I would definitely tell her, and I'm still talking to her right now.
Sure.
Tell her not to worry so much that, because I kind of get down when, you know, things don't always go our way and this business is so up and down and I take things really hard. So I would just tell her to, in those low times, to not worry so much about it and take it so hard because you're going to come back up from there.
Yeah.
Things are going to get better.
Gosh, that's one of those pieces of advice that all of us need to hear like every day, right?
Right.
Yes.
Because I feel like I say this a lot, whatever you like overcome today, when you go to sleep at night, it's like a switch goes off. Mm-hmm. You have to get up the next day and you have to figure out how to do it all over again.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, so that's why in a lot of ways people ask kind of, why do I do this and why am I passionate about it? What most people don't know is this is my solution. That my solution is to constantly remind myself of the very message that I'm giving. I go out and hear it, constantly ask it, right? And it's not about, you know, hey, I have this figured out, so let me tell you. If at the end of the day, my solution is this, you know, is to go out and say, well, the only way I know to constantly remind myself is to go search for it. So, you know, I think that's my kind of advice to somebody else. Everybody's solution's different, you know, whatever you have to do to kind of remind yourself, because I still need to hear stuff like that all the time. And I technically go speak on it. Yeah. Right. And it's kind of weird, but it's true.
I tell you that stuff all the time.
That's true.
I'm always like, Donald, you're saying things that, you know, the other people that I need to say back to you all the time.
All the time. But that's, hey, there's the other lesson. Hey, keep pretty good people around you.
Yes, yeah. That's a good lesson.
Kevin could be the opposite and affirm me in the other way. You know, so.
I think holding you accountable is probably never a bad thing.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
We opened a can of worms here?
No.
We're not going down some of these roads, Kevin.
Just giving you off ramps, man.
You can bill us for the therapy later.
Perfect.
There you go.
No therapy. Second question. What about the best piece of advice someone else is giving you? Mom, dad, friend, colleague, whatever. It says, you know, I've always just kind of held on to this piece of advice. And it doesn't have to be about music. It can really be about anything. So
I would say, so when we first moved to town, and even now, we still have a lot of mentors we meet with and that we really respect and go to for encouragement. And there was a guy named Rob Dennis. That met with us very early on, and we call him Robisms because we have a lot of things from him that we still to this day talk about. But one of the Robisms was never underestimate what being a good person will do for you and how far that will get you. Mm. And me and Trey were like, well, what do you mean? Like, we were raised, you know, we're not perfect by any means, but we were just raised to be kind people. That's how our families are. So to us, we're like, well, that's not a big deal. Like, that's not going to get us anywhere, you know? You know what? I will tell you, we would not be where we are at this point today had we not treated people the way that we have and tried our best to be good people, because I think that's why a lot of people want to help us out and want to see us succeed, is because we've always treated them with kindness and respect.
Sure.
And so I look back to that Robism and I'm like, ah, golly, still to this day, that happens for us.
Yeah.
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 Very, very good piece of advice. And another one of those things, I think sometimes when emotions play a part that you have to physically remind yourself, be kind.
Oh yeah. I'm not saying we do that all the time by any means.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. It sounds simple. I know it's just, but it is. And I think especially when you have the creatives, like you guys are so talented and obviously not just vocally, but when you're writing and you know, there's a lot of emotion and creativity to it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to blend that with the business side where most good business people will say, take the emotion out of it. You're like, wait a minute. I'm living in emotion as a creative artist.
Yeah. It's hard.
And now you're telling me to not think emotional and then be kind about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely a balance.
Yeah.
I mean, because you need both. I mean,
for sure.
At the end of the day, you have to be a good business person, but you also have to be good at what you do. So,
for sure. And I know you guys say y'all co-write together a lot, or maybe you did. That's all you did, maybe at first when you moved here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are y'all reaching out and co-writing with others as well? And just kind of a technical thing that I just want to know, do you always co-write as a, you know, a band, or sometimes are you co-writing with other and vice versa? Or do y'all separate and co-write?
Very rarely.
Yeah.
We've kind of always written together here in town just because we're always, you know, we're artists first and foremost.
Yeah.
And we want both of our voice, because as a duo, we want both of our voice to be heard through the songs that we're writing all the time.
Okay. Yeah.
So we always try to write together because, you know, I might hate something that she's writing and
sure.
might hate something I'm writing. So we just like to both be there to provide our input.
But you do write with other writers and artists as together. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We've been co-writing for a long time. And that was something that was introduced to us pretty early on when we moved to town, is, you know, the people that brought us here told us, you need to co-write because that's how you network. That's how you meet people. That's how you gain relationships and start that. And it really has helped.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the, I think, harder things to do. I didn't realize how vulnerable it was until I went and sat in on one. I didn't even go.
Awkward.
It was awkward the first time we wrote together.
I mean, it still is awkward sometimes.
We knew each other our whole lives. So, I mean,
was it a challenge to find the right type of other co-writes and building that network? And
for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you guys build that kind of network?
I mean, literally, we came here to town. We had one guy that brought us here, and he'd set us up on a co-write. He'd call in a favor, and then that co-writer liked it. They'd bring us in on another co-write with somebody else, and it would just, the network just, it's like a domino effect.
Sure.
You know, you meet one person, they introduce you to somebody else, and so on and so on and so on.
Right.
What I love about a lot of these stories, and I know Hey Whiskey, I think, is one of them, is you never know when the song actually comes to life. It's how many songs have been written and had a really good feeling about it, and for whatever reason, how many millions of variables as to why it never sees the light of day then,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we could list those, you know, and we won't about Hey Whiskey unless you want to tell it. But I mean, it's like this song was kind of a personal favorite and then just kind of got shelved a little bit for a while, right?
For sure it did.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of gotten that life and legs, and it's like, how, why, or it's the same song.
Yeah. Hey, that was not out of our control when it was collecting dust. We'll put it that way.
There you go.
I like it.
Shameless little plug.
I love it.
Not our decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it started out, we thought it was a good song. And I remember walking out of the room that day and thinking, wow, we just wrote a really good song. But we didn't play it out for like a year and a half after we wrote it. Didn't have a demo of it or anything. And then finally we wrote like a writer's round or something. We just randomly decided to play it one time, and afterwards we had a few people walk up and say, hey, I loved your set, but that song about whiskey was my favorite. You know, where can I buy that? And that kind of got the gears turning a little bit on it, and we had gotten a record deal recently with a record company called Bigger Picture.
Yeah.
And that, God rest their souls. But but we started talking about doing the album because we were in development at the time. We were going to go on radio tour in the coming fall. And so we're like, well, we really want this Hey Whiskey song. And defining moments you were talking about, something I'll never forget is our label president sitting down and saying, you know what? We don't want that one on the record. It's too dark. Nobody's ever going to get it. It's just not a commercial country song. And so us being little kids, you know, with our first record deal, we're like, okay. And it didn't make the first record. So fast forward, you know, Bigger Picture ended up folding the whole company.
Yeah.
We lost our record deal. Everybody did. And they had Craig Campbell and Chris Jansen and all those guys as well, Ryan Kinder. And we were left with nothing. And that was another really defining moment. If you want to talk about that, you want something humbling. have a record deal, lose that record deal, and be stocking grocery shelves the next week.
Delivering pizza.
And delivering pizza the next week. That is a humbling experience. I would see people that I knew from the industry in the grocery store from a distance and like turn around and walk away because I just didn't want them to see me in that setting.
Yeah.
But
this may sound weird when I say it at first, but, or maybe insensitive. I've even got a couple of friends. I won't say now because I don't want anybody to assume anything. I almost get excited even when I hear that my friends are going through like something like that right now. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I'm not excited that you're going through hard times, but yeah. I've just heard so many people in that chair that is past that. They're talking about that in past tense. Yeah. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now almost to the point where I see it and I know I want to feel bad and go, you know, man, that sucks. And I want, but at the same time, I kind of get excited. I'm like, it's going to be a good story.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
No,
and it's almost like the worse it is, the better. Like,
absolutely.
I love it when somebody, like, seriously, I'm now working in garbage waste disposal, knee deep in poop. That's what I do for a job. Mm. And I know it sounds, and I just want to go, this is going to be a great story one day. I mean, you know, so, gosh, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I know I sound insensitive, but some of my friends, I just kind of laugh and I just smile. And I'm like, good. They're like, what? I'm like, good. Because if you want it, you'll keep going. This will be a phenomenal story for you.
That's right.
And so, yeah, I mean, Carly Pierce was here and she was cleaning Airbnbs when she got the call.
Yeah.
You know, she was, you know, it's just how many times have we heard it? I mean,
we're talking a lot about, you know, she was, should I just be a background singer?
Yeah, maybe my voice should be used for different. She was even coming to the logical conclusion that, you know,
like
hey,
you say that, man, it's like, I'm just like you were saying, awesome. Like,
yeah.
So that's fantastic because you're going to be able to, once you hit it and go back and help other people with the exact same situation. But then there's like pure, genuine, like, I know how to overcome obstacles thing. Yeah. Like, no one's ever like, oh, great. So you got that record deal 1 week after moving here and then went platinum and then sold out tours and like, that's great. Like, that's never happened in the history of anything, ever. Right? And so
it's funny you'd mention Carly because we actually know Carly pretty well. And I mean, I remember Jen telling me stories about the week. I think she was on Sony and lost that deal and just sitting somewhere like babysitting, just crying her eyes out saying, I want to quit. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then to come to where she is now, and, it's inspiring.
Yeah, to fast forward, Carly, if you're listening, I haven't been able to get you back on the show. I knew. I knew it.
Just what I say right now.
What I say, I told her when she was there, I go, look, you're going to blow up. Man, I'm not going to be able to get you back. Sure enough. Anyway, that's another. where's my non-legal counsel over there?
I'll send her a tweet.
Right. I'll send her a tweet.
Should have been recording. I'm just saying.
No, that's a good story. All right. Here's my favorite one. You ready?
Yeah.
Have we decided, Kevin, do I want to give them the choice to answer for each other?
Let's give them the choice and see what they say. And then if we don't like the choice, then we'll tell them what to say.
There you go.
That's why he's my Chewy. All right. All right. So finish this statement. And, you know, here's the thing, guys. Y'all know this as artists. I shouldn't have to tell y'all this, but sometimes I feel like I do, right? There's something about presentation and the dramatic effect. So all I want you to do is to finish the statement, but finish it and deliver it. I just deliver it, right? I want you to go, Donald, but if you really knew me.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Okay.
It's kind of a silent pause, a sigh, right? As if it was the first time I have ever said that, right?
Okay.
It's delivery, all right?
You can say pause if you want.
You can, you can say Donald. Pause dramatically.
But not too long. Tastefully.
Yeah, very tastefully. Yes. But if you really knew me, you would know. And right now I would say, do you want the option of answering, if you really knew Jen, and you, Trey, you know, you can answer for her and vice versa. Or we'll just see what's your personal opinion on answering just for yourself. But if you really knew me, what would you like to do? And then I'll make the decision. Mm. What would you prefer? And don't try the reverse psychology game. Like, I'm going to say this, so he'll pick the other one. Because I may just agree with you.
I'm potato, potato on that. Trey, you pick.
I mean, I'm good with doing, like, ourselves.
Okay. We'll answer for ourselves.
Kevin, what do you think?
Agreed. All right. Cool. Sounds
okay.
Good.
Well, the only thing that just crossed my mind is like they're afraid of what they're going to say about the other one. So there's a little bit of a fear factor there.
Oh, God.
Maybe they're we'll like, okay, one. So what if you guys did one each about yourselves? And then if there's like a goofy one.
We'll just do that. We'll get with the option of a writer. So let's go with yourselves. Trey, if I really knew you, and please deliver it, just come through for me, buddy. Just come.
Ooh, man. Okay, if you really knew me.
Well, let's go back.
Let's go back.
Donald.
Donald.
Pause. If you really knew me.
Ooh, I'm going to drop the big bomb. Okay. All right. Whatever, so be it.
All right.
Donald.
Okay.
If you really knew me, you would know that my real name is Don.
What? Is that an exclusive first time ever admission on air right there?
It might have been. I mean, I knew that.
Wait.
We don't tell everybody that.
Just D-O-N.
What?
He's the third.
That's the best one.
I'm the third in my family, so people that are the third typically go by Trey.
I got to make note.
That's mind-blowing right there. Don.
That was great.
You knew me. Ever.
That's a good one.
Sorry.
If you really
you can't
know me.
Research that.
Beat that, Jennifer.
Mine's like,
and her real name is Kimberly.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Wait. And y'all are secretly married under different names.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a Millie Vanilli situation.
Pick the kids up at daycare on the way home.
Wow. Mine's not as epic. Okay.
It doesn't have to be, but that's right. Really good.
I feel like he did that so good. He delivered it.
See? He said, I'm going to drop the bomb.
End scene.
Donald.
Yes.
If you really knew me.
Okay.
You would know that I have the biggest sweet tooth ever. It is my weakness.
Is there a specific sweet?
Oh, gosh.
Like, is it a chocolate sweet tooth?
Oh, anything chocolate. Anything chocolate. Ice cream, cinnamon rolls, all of the above.
All of the sweets.
Well, let's talk about
all the sweets.
Yeah.
And I'm huge into healthy eating and working out.
Sure.
So you wouldn't like guess that, but
I mean, is that a problem on the road? So for like the next 2 months when you're on the road, just every gas station, everywhere you stop.
Oh, stop it.
Trey.
I want to think about it.
If there's something, if there's something that like, you know, between the two of you that you're trying to initiate, right? Mm-hmm. Like an idea, something we should do. Do you bring like chocolate to the meeting?
Because if not, you should. That's absolutely awesome. All the time.
Big sweet tooth. Jen, hey, I'll tell you what, Jen. Y'all come back on the show, I'll have a bowl full of chocolate for you.
Oh my gosh.
Well, listen.
You will definitely have me back then.
So, when you guys play in Philly on the 27th, are you going to swing by Hershey? Go to the Hershey's plant?
Stop.
We're going to be going right through there, yeah.
Y'all have to.
I'm just saying. Yep.
I would love.
I'd have your maybe management team work on that. We can work on a marketing promo thing here. So, no, that's good to know. Awesome. Do y'all have a writer? I will give you the option to say if you really knew the other one that he or she did not say. If you don't have it, that's fine. But if Trey, if you really knew Jim from your perspective, I would know what. I mean, the phone number's fine. I'm just saying.
I'm going to give him
some. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Let's
see.
These questions have meaning behind them. Let's be honest.
I have one, but she's probably going to get mad at me for saying it.
It's fine.
It's, I mean, really, it's not
like. Yeah, what the hey? If you really knew Jennifer, Donald, if you really knew Jennifer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just making sure you're paying attention here. Donald, if you really knew Jennifer, you would know that she can fall asleep in just about any setting, in any posture.
Wow.
Like borderline narcoleptic.
Yeah. She's on stage and just
like, I'm serious. We'll be riding in the van and I know no one can see me right now, but like she can be sitting straight up and her head will just go
so mean
like that.
Hold on. That's a gift. I
it's amazing.
Yes.
Like, I don't understand how she
I don't
does
know
it.
Why you would be mad at that. I would brag about that because
she also
does,
isn't allowed to drive after 7 o'clock. But
oh my god! All right, no more, no more.
Oh wait, we can just keep going.
She also stop it.
I got more. No, I'm just kidding.
No, well, that is a fun fact, and I will affirm a gift. I promise you, I think it's a gift.
There you go.
Thank you.
Especially with your lifestyles, because you're not always going to have. Oh, we have 10 hours to sleep, right?
Yeah.
True.
With a bed, and you're just not. Especially radio tour, right? I mean,
absolutely.
So that is a gift. I think you'll end up bragging about that a lot, not hiding. How's that?
There you go.
Thank you, Donald.
Have you been tested for narcolepsy? Because I'm looking up symptoms and I'm like, one in 2,000 people.
Like, she doesn't fall asleep on stage.
Full on talking to you and have like a normal conversation and then just. It's crazy.
I had it.
You should.
It's not during the day.
Not during the day. It's after a certain, like, 7, 8 o'clock.
When my ticker's out, my ticker's out.
All right, I don't know if I should go this. Yeah, I'm totally asking it. So what you're saying is, if it was a first date situation and it's after 7, right? And I'm in this, and all of a sudden you could say I have this problem, but really what you're doing, you're using me now. You're using that to go. Yeah, I can't. And just be out.
It's past my bedtime.
Yep.
In other words, I'm really not into this. I'm out. I have actually experienced that not on a date, but on a sales presentation. Believe it or not, I grew up. I've been a cold calling sales rep my whole life. And one time, I hope she wouldn't. There's no way she could have been doing it on purpose. Because I'm not kidding. I was giving the presentation. It was just her and I. And
she nodding off.
She would be literally engaging like this, and then bam, almost mid sentence, and then right back up. I'm like.
Narcolepsy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it has
1 in 2,000 people have it. I just Googled it.
But the thing is, don't you think she would have said something like, I apologize.
Something, you know.
She never mentioned it as if it was like a normal.
Maybe it was for her.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just saying.
Maybe she wore a shirt that said, I'm narcoleptic. And you're like, oh, got it.
Yeah. Could you imagine me and her going to dinner at 9 o'clock?
y'all wouldn't make it to dinner.
No, but I see a really great skit there coming up.
That's a good one.
We're definitely filming that one. All right, guys. Thank y'all so much. You guys are awesome. A lot of fun. I don't want to end this. I feel like we could do this another couple more hours.
You got to do one on him.
Oh, I was just giving him one rider, but if you want to.
Oh, all right.
Oh,
all right.
Gosh.
Never mind.
You don't have to, but if you want to.
If you don't have one, it's fine, but you know, he just basically.
It was your chance to rebuke.
I'm pretty perfect, so I don't think she has any.
If y'all could see me, I'm rolling my eyes right now.
I can see you.
It's true. Yeah, I can see you.
It's fine.
Do I need to do
You don't have to. You don't have to. We good? You want to move on? Should we move on?
We can move on.
All right. You win. All right. Well, totally here's my favorite part. I mean, and this is really what I call the perk of the whole show because we could talk for hours. I love this, but I don't know. Gosh. Anyway, I want to hear the song. I want to hear you guys play live. So what we'll do is we'll break here for a minute and sound check and all that good stuff. But before we do that, I know because I've read like the story of the song and all that good stuff. I don't know if everybody's heard it. So maybe just like a brief overview of like how and, you know, why and what it means to you guys. And then we'll set up and have you play it for us.
Perfect.
You want to tell the story now?
Yeah, let's do it. Hey Whiskey was an idea that I had jotted down in my iPhone, and it was just You Only Miss Me After Whiskey, and I had this melody. You only miss me after whiskey. You only want me when I'm gone. Real old school country.
I can hear the steel guitar in that actually right now.
Mm. You hear that? So I brought it to the co-write with our buddies Adam Wood and Casey Dierhack and Trey, and I sang it to them and I told them about it, and they were like, we are not writing another country music song about whiskey, Jennifer. That's been done a million times. And so, but I'm stubborn and I didn't want to give up on it. And I'm like, all right, well, why don't we try and, you know, write it from a different angle or make it a challenge to do it in a way no one's ever heard. Next thing you know, Trey starts playing doo 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 on his guitar, which is the melody of Hey Whiskey. And our co-writer Adam said, okay, well, I kind of dig that. And as a team, which is what I love about the co-write that day, is truly we worked as a team to come up with Hey Whiskey, which I feel it's kind of a new twist on a heartbreak. So often we hear the girl blame the guy. Y'all should love this. We always blame the guy. Mm. It's really unique and cool to hear it from a more vulnerable state. She's still in love with this guy. And if you really listen to the lyrics, you can tell that. Mm-hmm. She still wants to be with him. And so she's upset at this bottle of whiskey, this substance that makes this person that she loves a different person that she can't get over. And so it's really unique to hear it come from that perspective. And if you didn't know the title of the song, you just listen to the first verse, you think that this guy is cheating on her. And not until it hits that chorus do you know it's whiskey. And so it's just I really feel like we nailed it that day as songwriters. And again, I know it was a special song, and we call it our little song that could, because it's been around for 4 years. It's been through a record deal. It's been told no 100 times, didn't play it out for a long time. Finally get the response from the audience. Then it gets a shot on the Grand Ole Opry, gets a shot at CMT, gets a shot on Spotify, a shot on XM. And we, this entire year, we're out on the road, got to see people sing it back to us, which brings tears to my eyes. Cause as an artist and a writer, that's, you just want your music to speak to people and mean something to them. And this song means a lot to a lot of people. People tell us all the time, that's my personal story.
Well, I think the most interesting thing about that is, like, because women will say, well, I know a guy that I dated and he's going through that. The thing that gets me the most is when a guy reaches out and comments and, like, admits that he's going through that. Like, straight up, I mean, I'm not going to say any names because I can't remember, but
yeah.
But the guy was like, man, that happened to me. Like, let a girl go because of problems I was having, and, like, wish I could have those days back. Mm. I was just like, to admit that is crazy to me, that they can pull that out of you. But
yeah, it's a powerful story. And I think, you know, you two in general, like your vocals and the way y'all blend and sound, I think is what grabs you. And then the beauty of it is then you get to really dive down to the story of the message of the song,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's the talent and the gift that you guys have. I love that you're taking full advantage of it. And what I respect about you guys is that I know you've heard no. And I know that you've had those times where you, nobody would probably blame you if you had quit. That's the thing. You know what I mean? Like Dan Couch, the first story I ever heard, I go, dude, Dan, after 12 years, nobody would have said, you gave up too quick. I mean, you know, it was right. Like,
yeah.
You gave it a shot.
It's like, a long time.
Dan, after 13 years, somebody, we're not going to bash you, right? But, you know, you see what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was on the 15th year.
Wow.
Right? That it hit, and then he hit another one, then he hit another one, you know? And it's like, so there's something to be said about that. And I think that in itself is kind of what I'm celebrating for you guys, or at least trying to say, hey, look, if you're here, you're successful and you've won, not necessarily on my show, but that's what I see, you know? And so, I hope y'all, I feel that y'all believe that. And, I think that's the connection and the relatability you're going to get with the audience, which is actually why you are where you are, but you're going to blow up. No doubt about it.
Thank you.
No doubt about it. And I'm excited to watch y'all's journey and, you know, probably watch it from a distance. Cause y'all are going to forget about me. After the show.
I told you, just have that chocolate. We'll be right over.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate's coming.
We'll be in the crowd holding up like Twizzlers. Like,
oh my God.
Come on.
Yeah, but I have Snickers.
You just start chucking like you and our deli chocolates at her. Like, oh my God. Why is someone just drilling me with chocolates and we're in the corner just waving our hands?
Like, all right. Oh, that's awesome, guys. Smithfield, thanks for hanging out. Let's tune up and have you play it.
Woo!
Hey, I'm Trey.
And I'm Jennifer, and we're Smithfield, and this is our song, Hey Whiskey. I can tell he's been with you on nights like this. When you come on strong, he just can't resist. You don't know all the hell that you put me through. And he can't let me go when he's holding you. Hey, whiskey, why you gotta make him miss me? Why's he only call me up when he throws you down? Wanting me more with every round. Hey, bourbon, why you gotta leave him burning? And feeling that whole blame he used to have when he was with me. Hey, whiskey. Only on his mind when you go to his head. He starts pouring out all the words he never said. How can either one of us start moving on when every night he spends with you reminds him that I'm gone? Hey, whiskey,
Why you gotta make him miss me? Why's he only call me up when he throws you down? Wanting me more with every round. Hey, bourbon, why you gotta leave him burning? And feeling that whole blame he used to have when he was with me. Hey, whiskey. Gotta make him miss me. And why's he only call me up when he throws you down? Wanting me more with every round. Hey, bourbon, why you gotta leave him burning? And feeling that whole blame he used to have when he was with me. Hey, whiskey.
Guitar sounded good.
I was about to say, it did sound good.
Pop phone makes a good guitar.
I thought that was amazing. I mean, honestly, I don't even know how to, you know, normally I always can find something to say. It's a gift. I can talk. But every now and then, there's words just kind of mess the situation up. And that's one of those songs that y'all probably feel it. Like, it silences an audience. Like, if you think about it, it does.
Special.
So thank y'all so much for coming on. Excited for you guys, and I will at least just for to say that I did. Kevin, will you proceed? Hold on, let me turn your mic up. One second. All right. Okay, you're on.
What am I doing?
My non-legal counsel.
Oh, well, you have to ask the question.
Oh, sorry, I don't have my headphones on. Yeah, so Smithville, Trey, and Jen. Oh, wait a minute. So, Don and Jen.
Ooh. Oh.
See what I did there? Would love to have you guys back on if you're invited. Would you come back when you're all big and famous?
Chocolate, I'm there. I told you.
Oh, we have to entice her now.
Oh, I'm gosh. There.
I love it.
Fine, we'll bring chocolate, which
deal.
Means... Then she said deal.
Yes.
Done deal. In the books, recorded, on the record.
Legally bound.
So...
Yeah, so let's end it right there. Smithfield, Trey, Jen, everybody, super sick McCarty. Loved it. It was awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.